I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I completed my undergrad at Wilfrid Laurier University in Waterloo. And like a lot of university graduates now, after I graduated, I moved back in with my parents. And I went from 4 years of complete and beautiful freedom to a list of rules. And some of my parents' rules included cooking family meals, household chores. And when I went out, I had to tell my parents who I was going with, where I was going, and what I was doing. So one night, I got this long list of questions from them, and I responded, "You know, you didn't know where I was or who I was with in university. Why does it matter now?" And for the record, that was not the correct answer. Upon reading today's gospel lesson, it got me thinking a lot about rules, the task of following them and discerning which rules matter. The Gospel of Mark describes one of the rules the Pharisees and some scribes followed as the tradition of the elders. It was the thorough washing of their hands before eating. And a lot of the time, a reading of our scripture gives us a negative view of the Pharisees and the scribes. We hear them question Jesus, judge his teachings, and even plot how to kill him. And in today's gospel reading, Jesus himself calls them hypocrites. And our desire, naturally, might be to again distance ourselves from these Pharisees and scribes, because they're not following the right traditions, the right rules to live a faithful life. But I want to give the Pharisees and these scribes just a minute of redemption. Elizabeth Johnson writes that it's a common misconception that these Pharisees and scribes would have believed the observance of these traditions, following these rules, would have earned them salvation. They already believed themselves to be the chosen people of God, the elect. They already had salvation. And the law that was handed down to them was rather a gift in order to help them live their lives and live up to their title as God's elect. It was a way to show all the nations how to live a faithful life. And the actual act of thoroughly washing hands before eating was actually not a law handed down to all the people, but rather priests serving in the temple were required to wash their hands before entering a holy place or offering sacrifice. And so the Pharisees believed that to make an everyday part of life, like eating, something holy, they should too thoroughly wash their hands. These Pharisees and scribes may have always been out to get Jesus, but in observing these traditions, they were only working to preserve their faith and follow the Jewish way of life in a way that they didn't see Jesus and his disciples doing. And I feel like in a church, a community where we have so many rules and customs that preserve it or create an environment that we like, we might be able to understand these Pharisees and scribes just a little bit more. Because heaven forbid something change our beloved 11:15 service. In Jesus's response to the Pharisees and scribes, he doesn't diminish or disregard the law given to the Jewish people, for Jesus himself respected this law. But rather, Jesus questioned how the Pharisees and scribes interpreted the law, these rules, because it put a wall of separation between themselves and others that they would have considered unclean. Jesus argued their interpretation of the rules of faith, rules that were meant to guide them to live as good people, as God's elect, were really separating them from God and their neighbors. And instead of acting out of love and charity, evil intentions were coming from within them, which they had wrongly named the commandment of God. And so, although we may like to separate ourselves, distance ourselves from these Pharisees and scribes, I think it's important to acknowledge that we too have these evil intentions in our hearts. And that's not always something that is easy to hear, understand, or believe from our scriptures. Jesus says, it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come, and lists a whole bunch of manifestations of them, like theft, adultery, deceit, envy, pride, and more. But I have always imagined the heart as something good, something pure. And I guess I imagined it as where all of my goodness came from. We often see the heart as a symbol of love. And I guess that's why I had this connection, why I always thought it's where passion and our caring nature and goodness came from. But to be fair, this is not the first time Scripture has made me step back and scratch my head a little bit. Jesus does not say that the heart only has evil intentions. So perhaps this is where our goodness can come from too. But in our scripture today, he also doesn't mention the goodness that can come from the heart. Maybe because the hard message of the evil that can come from our hearts is what his hearers needed to hear. So Jesus doesn't soften the message, but rather drives it home. From time to time, I tend to fall into what people today call a YouTube black hole. And for those of you who don't know what this is, it's when you go online onto YouTube to watch one video, and you proceed to keep clicking and watch more, because there's this sidebar that recommends new videos, and I get caught to that every single time. And you keep clicking and you keep watching until like an hour or more has gone past. And unfortunately, this has happened to me. But in the midst of one of these black holes, I stumbled upon a video series called What Would You Do? It's a hidden camera series where scenes of conflict and sometimes illegal activity are set up and acted out. And we, the viewer, watch to see what a regular bystander would do. Would they intervene or not? Some of the situations include a Muslim woman attempting to buy items from a bakery, but a rude and prejudiced cashier denies her any kind of service and kicks her out while throwing bigoted comments at her. On a sidewalk, three teenagers beat and taunt a homeless person. Same-sex parents are at a restaurant with their adopted children, and the waiter attempts to kick them out because he doesn't agree with their life. A waitress is sexually harassed by her boss in front of customers. First, a waitress in regular clothes, and then someone in more revealing clothing. When an atheist angrily becomes vocal when a Christian family next to him starts praying at a restaurant, what would you do? Would you say something, do something, intervene? Because a lot of these people don't. And their faces, they blur them out so you can't see. But also because it could be any of us. It can be quite easy to assume we would do the right thing and intervene. But I think we've all had situations where we've not done the right thing for a variety of reasons. Unfortunately, we, like the Pharisees and scribes, have at one time or another also separated ourselves from God, from our neighbor, and acted with evil intentions, sometimes even like them in the name of our religion. We have all done things we're not proud of, that we might regret, or that we might not regret. We can blame the things we do wrong on our situation, our circumstance, more. Because it can be hard to admit and hear what Jesus is saying in the text. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. Another difficult part about this gospel reading is that today we don't hear it in its fullness. Our lectionary has us reading verses 1-8, and then jumping to 14-15, and then again jumping to verses 21-23. And in all this jumping, it's not always clear who Jesus is speaking to, or rather how many people he's speaking to. First, in verse 6, Jesus responds to the Pharisees and scribes as he quotes Isaiah. Then Jesus calls the crowds to him in verses 14 to speak about the defilement of a person. But then, in verse 17, a verse we didn't hear today, the Gospel of Mark says that Jesus left the crowd and entered a house, and his disciples asked him about his parable about defilement. And Jesus' first response to them is, "Are you so dull?" I'm really glad none of my seminary teachers said this to us. But even with this remark, Jesus goes on to further explain to his disciples about the evil in their hearts and what can come out of that evil. All of these different groups of people have hearts that evil intentions can come from. The Pharisees, the scribes, the crowds, even the disciples. None was greater than the other, but rather all were made of the same. They could all be broken, shamed, and hypocrites, but Jesus did not shy away from teaching them or ignoring them or separating himself from them, any of them, at all. And instead, he taught them over and over and once more what his words truly meant. And after this gospel reading, Jesus left that place and went to another, and another after that, and more after that. And he spoke to so many people, never giving up on his ministry, God's message, and never giving up on the reality that all of these people, with their brokenness and differences, should hear the word of God and be held and embraced by it. Jesus responds to questions and an inability to accept or understand by inviting the people closer to him, extending love and mercy to all and not turning them away. It is this same unconditional love and mercy that Jesus continues to extend to us today. In times when you feel you are not enough, times when you accept or see the reality that you are not only goodness, our scriptures teach us that Jesus brings you even closer to him, and we are invited to lean into our faith and the true commandment of God that instead lead us towards all that is love and good. This unconditional love and forgiveness and hope can be a difficult reality to hear for some of us, even harder to accept. Maybe just as difficult as the reality that we all have evil intentions in our hearts. But that love, forgiveness, and hope is the reality of our faith. It is the foundation of our faith and the God that we trust and believe in. Today, as we gather to say our confession and gather around this table, coming to take part in the living Christ, I pray that we all acknowledge the wholeness of our being, our goodness, and the truths that are difficult for us to accept, those realities that separate us from God and our neighbor. And instead, even for a moment, let us trust in the unconditional love and mercy of God, celebrating God and God's commandments with our lips, hearts, and worshiping with all honor and glory. Amen.